Hello, everybody. It's great to be here one more time today. My name is Gary Fowler, and I am the host of Simple Night Presents. I'm the CEO and founder of GSD Venture Studios, a premier AI and quantum venture studio located in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm a 17-time serial entrepreneur with several unicorns under the belt. I was on the original management team of Click Software, which was sold to Salesforce for $1.35 billion. Also, Eva.ai, an AI HR tech company that I co-founded with Dr. David Jen. We believe at GST that intellectual capacity is evenly spread around the world, but opportunities are not. So today I have an incredible guest, Eric Pelletier, who's joined me on several occasions. He's a Bain consultant. He is a consultant in areas of like e-commerce, retail. I mean, you name it. He's been a college professor, et cetera. And with that, I'd like to bring my good friend, Eric Pelletier, who's calling in from France. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Gary. Pleasure to be here.
So, you know, today we're talking about customer loyalty. And, you know, what is actually does customer loyalty mean in today's competitive marketplace, Eric?
Okay, so customer loyalty, basically, it's the ongoing relationship between a company and customers. And this relationship is, I think it's important to realize that very often there is an emotional component attached to it. And I'll come back to that probably in our conversation. Customer loyalty, it stems from three notions. The first one is customer retention. You know, in the 90s, Fred Reichhold, a Bain consultant, proved that, customer retention is essential. Actually, it costs you 5 to 10 times less to cultivate a client than to acquire a new client. The second thing is, that's an interesting number, is that when a consumer declares themselves loyal to a brand, it's been observed that they spend about 57% more on the brand. And the third point is word of mouth. I mean, word of mouth is probably the oldest marketing technique in the world. It's also the most effective. 92% of consumers will favor word of mouth as opposed to any other type of advertising. And contrasting that, when someone is not happy about the service or a product, they will tell it to 10 people as opposed to telling they're satisfied to one person. So all these things establish the fact that customer loyalty is essential for companies.
So, you know, let's go back through. I want to dive into this thing. You know, so, you know, we talk about customer loyalty, but using these multimodal, multi-agent learned language model, you can use these tools to be able to understand emotions, urgency, human needs, the through tone, language, and visual signals. And when we take those, that voice analysis, for instance, we can understand stress or urgency and user inquiries, stranded travel, who's upset, who's missed a plane, facial expressions with consent, which helps the system adapt responsive for calmness or clarity. How important, though, do you think this is going to be to put these into the model? Actually, all AI, right? In terms of, you know, language cues, I'm feeling lost, I need help, you know, to be able to trigger simplified empathetic results. What do you think? How important of a component that's going to be for the future, Eric?
I think it's going to be essential. If you think about customer loyalty, there are essentially three types. The first one is transactional. This is typically what you get on frequent flyer miles. I mean, the more you fly Delta, the more miles you get on Delta. There is behavioral loyalty. If for some reason, usually convenience, people tend to go to the same place. Typically, that applies a lot to shopping. You know, in good example, in Britain, there is a chain, Waitrose, middle class audience, and people absolutely love it. I mean, they rave about it, but that's typically behavioral. The third one is emotional loyalty, and that ties exactly to what you mentioned. It's when people develop trust, develop identity, value, a personal connection. You know, for instance, my first car was a Volvo, and I've always, you know, have this thing in my heart about Volvos. I don't always buy a Volvo, but it's there. So it shows that if and that's very important, because it's actually the strongest loyalty is the emotional one. So if you, as you mentioned, you're able to implement systems that play on the emotional side, and it's based on trust, identity, values, perception of what truly matters for customers, then you're way ahead of the competition.
You know, you look at, we look at, you know, we don't talk about compassion much in terms of these models, but having compassion algorithms for fairness and access, where we actually can detect and mitigate things like bias, you know, going forward, how important do you think that's going to be able to have these tools that can give us these personalized opportunities? You know, for instance, things like indigenous tourism, right? Female-led eco stays. How important do you think it's going to be to use these tools to reduce bias, and then flag when, like, user behavior, you know, if somebody's in financial distress or travel vulnerability, to be able to be compassionate and understand it and offer solutions, right? That's the other thing. If you had solutions, you know, and then you tokenize it, imagine, what do you think about that? This whole thing, do you think compassion algorithms for fairness and access are going to be important going forward?
Yeah, there is a compassion is essential, and it's not being discussed enough. I saw recently there was they're playing with, I think, one of ChatGPT models because it's too empathetic or not enough, or, you know, and they're beginning to realize there is a culture, there are values attached to the various LLMs. So if you think about compassion, there's an example I love to use, which is, you know, you should, as Churchill said, never let a good crisis go to waste. If you're a company, you make mistakes. Actually, those mistakes are a way to increase your emotional engagement. Typical, you know, textbook example is Tylenol with cyanide, you know, poisoning in 82, 7 people dead. Johnson & Johnson were super reactive. They pulled out, I think, 31 million bottles, $100 million, which, you know, in 82 is a lot of money. And then what happened is that people felt actually compassionate about Johnson on Tylenol, and brand loyalty literally exploded at the time. So this is a very important notion. I believe that, you know, most people are compassionate. This is part of the human attitude. It's our mammalian, you know, DNA. We're gregarian. If you are able to inject compassion in the systems when user interact with the system, it changes the whole ball game, because this is how you cultivate that emotion, that empathy that drives loyalty. And as we said before, loyalty is a very important, you know, economically. This is, if you think about what are the drivers, you know, take the example of a startup company, what drives the value? VCs will, first question they will ask is CAC, you know, client or customer acquisition cost. And then good VCs, the second question will be, what's the customer lifetime value? Obviously, these things are driven by loyalty. So,
I mean, you're right. And, you know, their emotional connection. What about, you know, with that, Eric, what do you think about if we use smart hyper-personalization that from the beginning is rooted in kindness? You know, so, and, you know, the like traditional recommender engines, they really prioritize profit, right? But imagine if we ethically align to recommend what improves lives, you know, things like nature retreats for burned out professionals, not pushing travel during disaster areas, right? Prioritize service with ethical reviews, company with verified fair labor practices. How important, what do you think, how would that change things, or wouldn't it change things if we ethically aligned to recommend what improves lives? You think people would buy into it?
Yeah. I think the one of the most popular movie ever, and you've probably seen it 27 times, is It's a Wonderful Life.
I love that. That was, growing up as a kid, I remember that. I just loved seeing that with Jimmy Stewart and, the guy's name? Clarence.
Yeah. It's interesting because at the core of the movie, he realizes he's had actually a very good life because he's been helping people. He's been compassionate. So it creates value. Once again, as we mentioned, compassion, empathy, very important. The second thing is it doesn't eat into your profits in two ways. Because you take the example, if you send, holiday packages, ads to people that are undergoing, a hurricane or an earthquake or floods, probably not going to work. So you're not going to get the revenue, but your reputation is going to be tainted. So the ability to handle situation with kindness, with empathy is essential. The reason why I thought about examples. People used to like small, banks, community banks, because it's actually there was empathy, and the guy, the
bank. People knew your conditions, right? Well, that goes back to Wonderful Life, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This is it. It's the and so now there is, with AI, with these agents, there is the opportunity to industrialize that. And it, it's not shocking. It's actually super ethical.
Yeah, it's super ethical. And I mean, it's got to happen. I mean, think about this. When you call up Social Security or you call up other groups in the U.S. and worldwide, government service agents actually listen and care. So imagine being able to speak, 187 different languages to have inclusive service, and trauma-informed tones for people dealing with loss or health crises or displacement or death. So those kind of things. What happens when somebody calls up, do you think, to one of these agents, these AI agents, that starts to care? What do you think is going to happen to that person? And that's on the other end, that's trying to get the service, to help citizens apply for aid or understanding legal documents. What do you think would happen?
I think we've all been exposed to situations where you're being handled by a chatbot that's actually super stupid, that goes in loops and rounds. And doesn't give you the information you need, and you need form XXX, and said, but I can't find it, and said, but you need form XXX. So we've all been exposed to that. And once again, this is bad, and it creates ill will, definitely. So if you step up in the way you build your agent, and actually, one algorithm is that when people are faced to that type of situation, when they require form XXX, it's usually, this is the background story, and this is what you need to be ready to handle. So this is how, there's nothing magical about empathy. Empathy is a very refined level of understanding of the other person's needs and priorities.
So, one of the things that I came up with is what we call, a platform-wide empathy framework, right? And I don't know of anybody that's ever done that before, but if you had a platform-wide framework like that, imagine what, right from the beginning, you're starting with that kindness, with the goodness. And
yeah.
So what do you think about that? How does it, what do you think about it?
Yeah, you may recall a conversation we had like before COVID. So that's probably in the 17th century. And I think you were about to write your first article, and it was about compassionate AI or empathy in AI. So obviously, the thought has matured, but there are ways to build models that will develop empathy, because once again, and kindness, because it's two things. One, it's a very sophisticated level of information, and you get that through hyper-personalization. And then it's something about the tone and the way to handle the conversation. And these things, you know, can be assembled today.
And, you know, so look at it. If we look at it, how important is data and analytics in building customer loyalty, Eric, from your perspective?
I've done lots of work and different types of, as Bain, we would go in and say customer retention is very important. You know, one way to drive up customer retention is to have loyalty programs. Loyalty programs reward the fact that the person is a loyal customer, a repeat customer. And what I've seen is very, very often people don't have the metrics. They don't have the KPIs. So if you understand the KPIs you need, then you can start building your system on that basis and the type of interaction you want to have. So you focus on the quality of the experience, the user experience, but also the type of numbers you want to generate through the system. And AI obviously is probably equipped to generate those numbers.
How do you think small businesses can compete? Right? How can small businesses effectively compete with larger brands in creating customer loyalty?
Well, first of all, lots of small businesses do it one way or the other. You go to the next door coffee shop, and they know
your name, Eric.
Yeah, how are you? Gary, welcome back.
That little restaurant we went to over in Paris.
Yeah, exactly. They knew me, and actually, I think we got the coffee for free.
Yeah, and that was when you told me that those waiters take their jobs very seriously. It's a profession in France.
Yeah, and so it's exactly, yeah, it's a job in itself. It's a real job. It's not, an actress in what I mean. So small businesses have got that understanding, and actually probably have it a lot more than the bigger companies, because they tend to be a lot more connected to their customers. But for them, it's a unique opportunity, because AI levels the field. And in this case, if you are the first people to step into, empathy, kindness-driven AI, you're in a very different position.
How can loyalty programs really fit into everyday business life? And if you would rank order them with empathy and compassion, how would you rank order them? How important are they to the business?
The cheapest customer you can acquire is an existing customer, 5 to 10 times less expensive than a new customer. So you really, really, really have to cultivate your customers. And that's the notion that now most people know about, delight in the customer experience. Now, if you think more about delight, it's an emotional word. You're not saying have a great or a superb customer experience. And say delight is very specific. It's emotional. So to me, and let's take the example of startups, the priority for a startup is to get clients, to sign clients. And then when you have a few clients, it's to cultivate them and grow off that basis. I mean, the book about Uber and all these examples, cold start problem. Okay, if you think about the message about cold start problem, it's really about cultivating your customer base. So to me, when you're a startup, it's number one. When you're a big company, it still is number one, because at the end of the day, you may have people, you may have plants, you may have IP, patents, financing, everything. If you don't have customers, you have nothing.
Yeah, and that's it. What are some common mistakes companies make in trying to foster loyalty, in your opinion, and how can they avoid them?
Well, first, there is a perception. Okay, there is a few things. In some cases, there is a perception that loyalty programs are, in essence, kickback schemes. If you think about, frequent flyer programs, and this is why there is issues with the IRS, with tax authorities throughout the world, it's a bit of a kickback scheme, because your company pays for your ticket, but you're getting the free miles. So that's, ethically very uncomfortable. The other elements is to make it too transactional, in the sense that, give me your data and I'll give you some advantage of that. Because once again, it's not about compassion and it's not about empathy. And so whenever the quid pro quo, I think, is too obvious, that minimizes the impact of your program.
Personalization, undervaluing customer feedback, inconsistent service quality, overly transactional loyalty programs, like you said, right? It's because people see through it. So, it's just a kickback in some ways to get you to buy more. But when people know empathetically that you're listening, that they're listening to their customers, that they care about quality, they're hyper-personalizing their interaction. Everything changes, right? And then when you reward loyalty beyond just discounts, I remember, US Airways many years ago, I was the top flyer worldwide at that point. And I remember they had started inviting me to games, but it was more than that. There were top executives there from US Airways, and I would meet with them. And I actually felt, they really cared. I did, beyond just buying tickets and things, it felt like they really cared. And it changed things for me.
Yeah, and I think you're saying something very important. You said reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all these programs are, or most of these programs are about rewards. But this is one thing I believe that needs to change. Because a reward is transactional. You tell your kids, be nice and we'll go to McDonald's tomorrow afternoon. Okay. And it's a transaction. If you're able to actually make it as a smooth way to engage with customers, it's very different. People are they're very aware of that. They don't want to be, and it's not Pavlovian. Do this, you get this. If you actually create a whole environment, empathetic environment, it drives much stronger loyalty. Because remember the way I listed the three types of loyalties, the most important one is emotional, because that's the strongest one. This is the one that truly has an impact on the business. An example of that, in retail, there is always the big question is, do we do promotions, or do we do everyday low price? And when you talk to customers, they much, much prefer everyday low price, because they don't want to be in a reward loop.
So looking forward, Eric, how do you see the concept of customer loyalty evolving?
I think what we're going to see is really increase focus on the quality of the user, the customer experience. And this is going to be driving the whole system. So all the programs have to be redefined along these lines. And I think your idea of empathy and compassion really makes the difference. Because you off the reward route, you're creating something new. But yes, from a profit standpoint, it's because, retention is important, word of mouth is important, et cetera, et cetera. To be able to drive that, you need to have good feedback loops.
Okay. No, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, everything's changing now with AI every day getting better and better. And every day, you know, I say like your grandmother, it has empathy and compassion. It really cares about you and what the kind of experience that you're having. It's going to shift the way that we do business. It's going to shift the way we live our lives, right? It's going to change things because with this, remember the infobesity problem, all the data we have around us, it's going to give us a guiding light, a Sherpa to be able to help guide us through the, digital jungle. So Eric, closing thoughts, and what's the best way for people to get a hold of you? You have a LinkedIn profile?
I have a LinkedIn profile and my email is below me. I think to me, closing thoughts is we're only at the beginning of true customer engagement. Because with hyper-personalization, and if you add the cultural dimensions, value dimensions of empathy and compassion, the world changes. Recently, there was a conference by Sam Altman, and he was showing the way people use ChatGPT. And it's very interesting because the younger generation, they are actually beginning to ask life advice to ChatGPT. So it means that they have no issue of, you know, talking to a machine. They have no issue of being transparent and asking for compassion and kindness. So it's happening. So put it at the core of what you do with your clients.
No, that's great. I really appreciate it, Eric. Eric, thanks for joining us today one more time for Simple Nights Presents. And to all of you out there, my name is Gary Fowler. I'm your host. Have a great weekend. Stay happy, stay safe, and stay healthy. We'll be back to you again soon with another exciting edition. Thanks again, Eric.
Thank you.